This is Eli Lesser, Director of Education at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia, and you're listening to Speaking of History.
The Eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the Great Crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, a suburb just outside of Kansas City. And this is episode 109, being recorded on July 12th, 2007. Well, this week we've been spending time in Philadelphia at the National Constitution Center and the Landmarks Workshop. Today we have an interview with Eli Lesser. He's the Educational Director of the National Constitution Center. So today Eli will talk a little bit about resources available online, some teacher opportunities, some upcoming workshops, and how you can use the Constitution Center in your own classroom. Here's the interview with Eli. Hello, we're sitting in the office of Eli Lesser at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia. I'm currently attending the workshop that is held by NEH, and we're learning about the American Revolution and the Constitution. And I just wanted to sit down and have a little discussion about how you can use the National Constitution Center in your own classroom. Thanks, Eli.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. I'm glad that you're here in Philadelphia.
Well, this is an amazing facility, which really isn't that old. Can you tell people a little bit about the history of the actual building and what's here?
Sure. The National Constitution Center was founded by Act of Congress. During the end of the second term of President Reagan, he signed a bill on September 18th, 1988, which basically said very briefly, it was a very short little piece of legislation, it was widely accepted, which said a private museum shall be built in the city of Philadelphia on National Park land. And he instructed basically in that, with that law, and Congress passed a law and he signed it, they basically instructed the National Park, the Department of Interior, to provide land for a private institution for teaching and studying of the United States Constitution. But it took from 1988 to 2003, on July 4th, 2003, for us to finally open our doors. It was a long haul. This is a massive complex to take and wrap the idea and the idea of what a National Constitution Center should be. It took a lot of really bright people, a lot of interesting people to come together, have that conversation. And then in turn, the practical of it is to really raise that money and put those pieces together to sit in the amazing building that we're in today. So July 4th, 2003, and here we are in the summer of 2007, and we're going strong. We see about 1 million visitors a year, of which I'd say probably about 60 to 70% are school students with their teachers that come and visit us and have what I like to say is a conversation about the Constitution. What the National Constitution Center provides is an ongoing conversation about our Constitution here in the United States.
Now, say I'm a teacher and I just found out that we're going to be in Philadelphia as part of a trip or an organization. How should I prepare my students for a visit to the actual building itself?
Well, the nuts and bolts of it are the best way to visit is just to hit our website, constitutioncenter.org/education. You can click on school group visits and you can get all the information there as far as group admission rates, as far as booking your trip and all that information. But you'll also find curriculum there. We have a brand new class visit activity guide that we'll be debuting with the 2007-2008 school year. There's three different guides available. There's an elementary level, a middle school level, and a high school level, and all of which include pre-visit, on-site activities, and post-visit activities with assessments, and something new we're pioneering that we're calling a discussion trail. And a discussion trail really encompasses the purpose of what we see our education department moving to. And that theme is come teach in our museum. What you'll find by visiting the National Constitution Center is that this is a different place. And Eric, I hope that you found this, was that we're not an art museum, which
right.
is docent-led, and although full of beautiful, priceless works of art that have to be protected, that are usually quieter places, places people go to observe and take part and kind of really enjoy that art. And we're also not a historical museum where everything's kind of still and you're looking at it and it's just documents and just kind of like, you know, shadow box type things and dioramas. We're really a hands-on place, the place there's sounds constantly moving on, there's conversation, there's large open meeting spaces. It's this conversation. And so we're encouraging teachers to please come teach in our museum. And what we offer is a discussion trail. And over the course of the school year, we'll be rolling out different thematic trails. So if you're studying commerce, there's a commerce trail. If you want to study federalism, there's a federalism trail. But there's also a general activity trail that has you have 10 stops along the exhibit experience that allows you to stop with a group of students. And we ask for a 1 to 10 student to chaperone rate. And you can, you know, with 10 students, you can bring them around. You can look at an exhibit. You can look at an artifact, look at an interactive. And we provide those discussion questions for you so that you're really teaching in here. You're making our museum your classroom, and that's the goal.
Now, the ultimate goal, obviously, would be to get a class, you know, here physically on site. But what if I'm teaching in Missouri, I'm teaching in Utah, I can't physically bring my students to the physical building? What are some things you have available online for teachers to use?
Well, truly, I think what we've done in the past 2 years is we really embraced the first part of our name, and that's the National Constitution Center. It's an important statement that we're here in Philadelphia. Our museum, although most people think we're in Washington, D.C., we're not. We're here in Philadelphia. This is a museum not about politics. This is a museum about the Constitution, about our constitutional democracy. And it's here because just 300 yards from where we're sitting, those men, those 55 men gathered, and they wrote that Constitution. And you can see it from all different points of view here in our museum. But if you can't come here, or if you want to stay in touch with us or stay and you see something you really like here and you want to use it in your classroom, we offer a wealth of resources on our website at constitutioncenter.org/education. There you'll find classroom activities, you'll find resources, you'll find interactive online games, you'll find information of what's going on here, you'll find podcasts, you'll see videocasts, you'll find about professional development opportunities we could find for you as teachers to come here and visit. Those are funded opportunities that we cover those costs for you to come here. So there's a wealth of information at constitutioncenter.org/education for you to use in your classroom.
In the last couple of years, we've seen a dramatic increase in the amount of attention paid for people on Constitution Day, and how there's a lot of mandates about they really want to make sure that something happens in each classroom or each school. What are some activities or suggestions you might have for people that are looking for Constitution Day activities for September 17th?
Well, we'd like to say that Constitution Day is our major holiday here at the Constitution Center. It's everything from Christmas, New Year's Day, July 4th, we see wrapped up in one here at the Constitution Center. That is the day in which the document was signed, September 17th. And it's really been our mission for a number of years now to really get that to become a major holiday. Not many Americans know about September 17th. And we offer probably the most important thing that we offer is, again, a website, constitutioncenter.org/Constitution Day. And there you can find kind of a clearinghouse. We've really become the central point in which different organizations, civic education, history education, publishing companies, all different people have been coming to us, and we kind of create the central place where you can find that material. Some materials for sale, some materials for free, all different types of materials right there on one website, constitutioncenter.org/Constitution Day. We have a great new project that we're rolling back out. It's a classic. For an institution that's only 4 years old, it's amazing we have a classic. But this piece was actually put together before the museum opened. It's been around for about 10 years. It's called I Sign the Constitution. And schools have been doing this for a long time. And we're about to revise it. It's kind of been quiet for the past 2 years. We're about to roll it out in big style this September. We have a giant constitution that we make available. We'll be sending those to classrooms around the country. And we have as a packet there for you to have your own signing ceremony. It's a great way to start the school year. Have everyone in your school or everyone in your class sign the Constitution. Take part in this activity. And we have a great activity guide that goes along with it, with lessons and different ideas that you can have to get students to embrace it, to think about this document, and to take that pen in hand and sign their first and last names on that, making a commitment to citizenship and a commitment to the Constitution.
Now, obviously, I've spent an incredible week here this week. We're kind of wrapping up tomorrow at this NEH workshop. Could you talk a little bit about the workshop and how teachers that are listening to this might become participants next summer?
Sure. We offer a variety of workshops. In the summertime, this summer we're offering 4 weeks of workshops. We offer two different workshops, and they're each repeated ones, so it's the same workshop twice. What you're experiencing is our NEH workshop, and it's looking at the United States Constitution through the lens of American history, really examining Philadelphia as a creation of a revolution in government. This idea that while a revolution was going on at different battle sites, including one happens to be Philadelphia, a physical face-to-face kind of conflict, there was a revolution of ideas going on here in Philadelphia, bringing different points of view together and creating a national government that we still live under. We then offer, next week we're offering a workshop which is funded by the Annenberg Foundation. And that workshop is called Changing the Constitution. And instead of looking at the Constitution through the lens of history, it's going to look at the Constitution through the lens of political science. And it's the three different ways in which the Constitution can be changed, executive order, judicial opinion, and also traditional Article 5 amendment. Now, to apply for those, again, constitutioncenter.org. I can't stress enough, if you're a teacher, you click on the teacher section, click on professional development. You can join you can become a constitutional educator by joining our mailing list. Applications will be available in the fall. It's a short application. We look for geographic diversity. We look for diversity of experience. You don't have to be an experienced teacher. You could have just had your first year in the classroom. We do ask for you to have completed one full year of teaching before you apply, but that's really the only prerequisite, is to be a current teacher, to be someone engaged in this, someone who wants to come to Philadelphia, all of which, both of these workshops are fully funded. Those workshops we provide for your transportation and cover your hotel costs and most of your meals while you're here in Philadelphia. And we really hope and we try to make it an important experience. We think teachers are our greatest ally, and teachers are we see as some of the most important people. Next summer, we should be offering both of these again, we hope, again, depending on funding, but we're pretty confident that we'll be offering at least one of them. We also hope to offer a one-shot workshop next summer, too, a five-day look. We're calling it right now Presidential Boot Camp. And that is everything you wanted to know about how to teach the presidential election, because in 2008, we're going to have quite a general election.
Yeah.
It's an open election for the first time in a long time with no true incumbent, whether a true incumbent or one who's a vice president who's not running. It's going to be a great opportunity to teach civic education, teach American history and American government. And so we hope to bring in about 40 or 50 educators to spend time with us and think about how do we teach this best? And we're going to call it Presidential Boot Camp. So you can look for that in the fall. Applications will be available in November, December. And please feel free to check us out at NCSS in San Diego. We'll have a booth there with lots of information and applications at that point.
All right. Now, when I interview people in the history field, I like to ask them a little bit about how they got the position they currently have. Because I think sometimes students think they have to be a history teacher and things like that, and which is great. But I'm always curious about how other people reach their position. This, to me, seems like a pretty cool job. So how did you reach where you're at today?
Well, I was a teacher. I went to, as an undergraduate, I majored in history. And I did that just out of love. When I came out of high school, thinking about my undergraduate, and pretty quickly, a lot quicker than most of my friends, I knew that I wanted to do history. Because in the high school experience, I never felt like we got deep into the history. It had always engaged me from a very young age. And I ended up majoring in history at the University of Delaware. I did a study abroad in London during my junior year and senior year. And at that point, towards the end of my junior year of college, I really sat around and thought, okay, what do I want to do? I spent a summer between trips to London working in the U.S. House of Representatives. I worked for 4 months for Congressman E. Clay Shaw, who used to be with the 22nd District of Florida. And it was an amazing experience. And that really, I was very into politics. I still am very interested in political and politics in the United States. But coming out of university, I really thought, do I want to do politics? Do I want to staff on the Hill? Do I want to be a staffer? And lots of friends that were doing that. The woman that would become my wife was a staffer. And I decided I didn't want to be. I decided that I had my love for history and I wanted to share that love. And the small fact of it is I love talking. You know, I think I'm a pretty good talker. I tell a good story. I tell a good yarn. And all those signs pointed to me. And what I thought of were the people who, when I look back and was trying to put the pieces together when I was 21 years old, who did I admire most? Who did I look to and say, you know what? That looks like they're having a good time. And it was teachers. I had some amazing history teachers throughout my career. And so I decided I went to graduate school. I moved to New York City. I went to NYU for graduate school in socialized education. And I taught in the New York public schools for about a year while I was in graduate school. And I started teaching middle school, U.S. history. And the secret of it is, and now the secret's out, is that I was originally assigned high school and I thought I'd be a high school teacher. But I showed up the first day to be a student teacher. And I was only 21 years old, and most of the students were 18 or 19 years old. And they were about the same size as me, and that scared me, so I ran back and switched to middle school because they were shorter. And I fell in love with middle school, and I taught middle school for a number of years. I then moved from New York City to Southern Virginia, and I spent 3 great years in Roanoke, deep in the Appalachian Mountains, experiencing America, looking for America, and experiencing a totally different point of view from New York City. And then I moved back to the Philadelphia area with my girlfriend, who will become my wife. We decided to live in a city. We decided we were city dwellers. And I taught in Delaware at a little prep school called the Tatnall School, which is a great school. And then I fell into a job at the University of Pennsylvania. In the summertime, teachers usually look for extra work. I have a little bit of a technology bent, and I did some web programming. And my wife was working at the University of Pennsylvania at the time, and I had some lunch with some people. It's turning into a long story here. They asked me for, looking for somebody to program a website, to do an hourly work. And I said, well, I can program a website. I said, oh, yeah, you're a social studies teacher, too. That's great, because it's an education website. And I ended up working on a team that built the Justice Learning website, which is still online. It's a great, proud achievement of mine that I had a hand in that, at justicelearning.org. And that looks at Supreme Court issues and major issues that face us. And it's from an NPR show called Justice Talking. And from there, the same center that did it, the Annenberg Public Policy Center, was working on a project called Student Voices, and I started writing some curriculum for them. And I spent 2 years there at the University of Pennsylvania with the Policy Center. At that time, I started having some conversations with the folks here at the Constitution Center. They were doing some reorganization of their education department, and they brought me over here about a year and a half ago. And I've been doing this ever since. I'm not a museum educator in the typical sense. Our education department is split in half. There's another director of education who's here who takes care of museum education. It's really my job is to add, as I said earlier, the National into National Constitution Center. So my job is to work with teachers and students beyond the walls of the Constitution Center. So that's the story. It's a story of luck and being in the right place at the right time and a lot of work. And I just really love what I do. And I think if you love what you do, you'll succeed and find what you want to do.
Great. Well, this is an amazing facility. And even online, you know, you guys have really, I think, taken the lead as far as putting podcasts and interactive things on your website and, you know, videos, things like that. So as teachers that aren't always able to come to Philadelphia, we appreciate how much work you put into making a connection with us in different parts of the country. So thank you.
Great. Thanks, Eric.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.